I made a search in Google, typing the words greatest famine. And the result brought me to Ethiopia, 1985. Yun daong pinakamatinding tagutom na nangyari sa nakalipas na siglo. It was the culmination of several droughts that visited the country of Ethiopia and exacerbated by civil strife that was going on at the time. Thousands died. And what made it ironic was that it was in a land that otherwise would have been fertile and self-supporting. And this is the painful irony of famine when it occurs where it should not occur. It is a situation which is not just caused by nature, but by human folly. Well, I want to address this afternoon a more tragic famine, and one that is even more painfully ironic. I say tragic because the consequence of this famine is not just emaciated bodies that we have become accustomed to see in media, yung mga nakikita natin, mga malnourished na mga bata na daan-daan sila pag pinapalabas sa media, yung mga may famine doon sa Africa, at halos nasanay na tayo makakita ng ganyan. And it's tragic. And we know that many of those emaciated bodies will end up dying. And yet, I'm talking of a famine which is worse than that. Worse because the consequence is not just physical death, but one that has a more eternal consequence. And the famine I'm talking about is even more ironic, more painfully ironic. And so in this last month of our study of the book of Amos, we are looking at the last portions of his prophecy. And here, as I have said, the oracles of judgment are rising in crescendo. Parang palakas ng palakas ang mga pahayag ng hatol na sinasabi dito ni Amos. And yet, as we shall see in the last message of this series, it ends in hope. Yung mga pahayag ng hatol, ngunit matatapos sa isang nota ng pag-asa. Gayunman, dito sa puntong pinag-aaralan natin, the Lord threatens in His language no longer again to pass by them. It means not another chance will be given to the nation of Israel. Wala na muling panibagong pag-asa, wala nang panibagong pagkakataon. And yet, even as God pronounced judgment against the nation of Israel, we find the people were busy in their religious activities. They were singing in the temple. There were sacrifices and offerings made. And as I said last Sunday, it was a play of religion. And that can happen many times on a community that God will judge, even as the judgment is pouring upon them, yet they are busy with their religion without realizing that God is judging them. That happened to the Israelites. Now, what Amos does is, even in the midst of their religion, Amos, by prophecy, anticipates what it will be like when the people would be in exile. Turn your Bibles to Amos chapter 9, chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, and let's read verses 9 to 14. Amos chapter 8, verse 9 to verse 14. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will make the sun go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in broad daylight. I will turn your fists into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist and baldness on every head. I will make it like mourning for an only son, and its end like a bitter day. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. So here is the famine that God warns through the prophet Amos. It says, I will send a famine on the land. And by Amos' description, it is not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but the famine is one of hearing the words of the Lord. And take note the words, I will send, God says. This is clearly intended to be a divine act. Gawa ito ng Diyos. Itong tagutom na ito sa espiritual ay hatol ng Diyos sa bayan. And it is a painful irony because this famine in the land is something that should not have happened. Eh, katulad din sa sinasabi natin sa mga bayan, katulad ng Ethiopia, na sa kanilang sariling natural resources ay maaring masagana. But for one reason or another, there is a famine in a land that should be abundant. Well, in the case of this nation, we're talking here of Israel. Israel was the nation to whom God sent prophets. Prophets after prophets. There was an abundance of the word of God. And yet this nation, when it becomes an exile, will experience a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. They had it in abundance in the time of Amos. They rejected it. But in exile, it will be a famine. And it came to pass in the year 722 BC, when they were swamped over by the Assyrians, nang sila'y sakupin na ng mga Assyrians, ang Israel ay dinala doon sa bilang mga bihag sa Assyria. At anong nangyari? Famine. And this is judgment. Famine, not in terms of bread, they were well fed, not in terms of water, but they were in famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. And this is an act of judgment. And I have a very simple, yet a very sobering message. God may judge those who reject His word by withdrawing His word. Maaring hatulan ng Diyos ang mga tumatanggi ng Kanyang salita sa pagbawi o pagkakait ng Kanyang salita. God may judge those who reject His word by withdrawing His word. And for Israel, it meant God will no longer call prophets to bring a message to the Israelites. And as I said, that happened in 722 BC upon the conquest by Assyria of Israel, there will no longer be any prophets sent to Israel. Now, 100 years later, Judah will have its turn of becoming an exile, but to Judah, God continued to send prophets. Even in exile, there was Jeremiah, there was Ezekiel, prophets during the exilic period. But in the case of Israel, God turned His back to them, so to speak. God no longer sent any prophet to Israel since 722 BC. Matapos silang sakupin ng Assyria, wala na muling tinawag na propeta. At alam natin ang nangyari sa Israel, the northern kingdom lost its identity. It no longer became a distinct nation. Judah would at least still preserve its identity even through the exile. That was not the case with the northern kingdom. What happened to the northern kingdom was that it got lost. So you hear sometimes the expression, lost 10 tribes. Well, it's this, the northern kingdom. Nawala sila. Sapagkat hindi nila pinakinggan ang salita ng Diyos, dumating ang panahon na hinatulan sila ng Diyos at ang hatol na iginawad ay hindi gutom sa tinapay, hindi uhaw sa tubig. Ang hatol na iginawad ay pagkagutom sa salita ng Diyos. At makikita natin dito how they scoured the land from sea to sea, we are told, from north to south. They scoured the land for some word from Yahweh, and there was none. It was God's judgment. Now let us take the principle as a due warning. God may be blessing us now with His word. But the question is, what do we do to the word of God that you are now experiencing in abundance? Maring binibigyan tayo ng pagpapala ng salita ng Diyos. Masagana ang naririnig, ang nalalaman natin sa salita ng Diyos. Ngunit ang tanong na dapat bumalik sa atin ay, anong ginagawa ko sa salita ng Diyos? Sapagkat kung tayo'y tumatanggi, tumatalikod sa salita ng Diyos, maaring dumating ang panahon ayon sa hatol ng Diyos ay Kanyang bawiin ito at ipagkait sa atin. And that happened to Israel. And what happened to them is a due warning to us. What are we doing to the Word of God? Let us look at this at two time frames. The first is while God's Word is present. And secondly, when God's Word is absent. Anong mangyayari? Habang nariyan pa ang salita ng Diyos, At anong mangyayari kung wala na ang salita ng Diyos? So let us look at these two time frames. First, while God's word is present. While Amos ministered in Israel as prophet, he embodied the word of God. Habang nagbiministeryo si Amos doon sa Israel, kinakatawan niya ang salita ng Diyos. Habang naririnig yung kanyang tinig, habang siya'y nangangaral sa kanyang pangangaral bilang propeta, naroon sa Israel ang presensya ng salita ng Diyos. Now you notice the comparison here. It is not going to be a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but a famine of hearing the words of God. Clearly, the intention is to say this type of famine is so much worse than physical famine. Now, what does it tell us? What is it telling us? It is telling us this, brethren, that while present, God's word is our most precious blessing from God. Habang nariyan, ang pinakamahalaga nating pagpapala mula sa Diyos ay ang kanyang salita. Habang ang salita niya ay nangungusap sa atin, napakahalagang pagpapala nun anupat nung dumating na talaga yung pagkagutom sa salita ng Diyos. Sinasabi dito ni Amos, mas masahol pa yan kesa nagutom na lang kayo sa tinapay o nauhaw na lang kayo sa tubig. Ngunit ngayon, nagugutom kayo sa salita ng Diyos. You have it worse than physical famine. It is telling us that better than the material, physical blessings we enjoy is the Word of God. And if you have it, kung meron kang salita ng Diyos, napakahalaki at napakayaman na pagpapala ang ibinibigay sa iyo. And yet the Israelites did not appreciate it. Remember, in my description, under Jeroboam II, which was the period covered by Amos, under Jeroboam II, they had it so good economically. There were no external threats. And because there were no external threats, they enjoyed an economic boom. I imagine if their economic cabinet met, there must have been a lot of delight and happiness. Their economic graphs were all indicating surpluses for years to come. Eh siguro, tuwan-tuwa itong mga namumuno dito sa Israel nung panahong ito. Maaring sila'y popular sapagkat yumayaman ang mga tao. There was nothing to worry. They felt so secure. And perhaps the only disturbance to their security was this prophet Amos. Killjoy itong propetang to. Remember when we dealt with the reaction of the priest of Bethel, Amaziah, he made it clear in no uncertain terms that Amos wasn't welcome in Israel. He told him to go back to Judah. But I also imagine that there were people in Israel who at least tolerated Amos, but probably they were asking, why can't he just enjoy the goods? Just like we all do. This old fool is a killjoy. What they did not realize is that the old fool is actually the most significant of God's blessing upon them. The very fact that Amos even had to cross borders from Judah in order to go to Israel, it was like God was going out of his way just to reach out to the people of Israel. Talagang ginawa ng Diyos yung mga bagay na hindi na inaasahan, ngunit ginawa niya para abutin ng Israel sa pamagitan ng kanyang salita. And yet, the Israelites did not appreciate it. If only they knew that as long as Amos' voice could be heard, it meant that God was calling out to the nation. It meant that God was not finished with them. God was not abandoning them as long as Amos' voice could be heard. The surrounding nations did not even have the benefit of prophets from God. God left them to the blindness of their paganism. And yet here in Israel was a voice of a prophet. And they did not appreciate it. Before entering into the land of Canaan, Moses reminded the Israelites what was their supreme blessing, what was their advantage over the nations. And hear the words of Moses in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 8. What great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law? which I set before you this day. Ang hamon ni Moises dito ay anong bansa ang mayroong katulad nitong mga batas na ibinigay sa inyo ng Diyos? Ang ibig sabihin, ang kalamangan ng Israel sa ibang mga bansa ay hindi yung kanilang sibilisasyon, hindi yung kanilang kasaysayan, hindi yung kanilang karamihan ng kanilang populasyon. Ang ikinalalamang ng Israel ay nasa kanila ang salita ng Diyos. Hindi nila kailangang mainggit sa sibilisasyon ng Ehipto. Hindi nila kailangang mainggit sa yaman ng Lebanon. They need not envy the civilization of Egypt or the natural resources of Lebanon or in later years, the power of Assyria or Babylonia, the grandeur of Greece or the splendor of Rome. What gave this nation of Israel the distinct superiority is that they have the Word of God. Nasa kanila ang salita ng Diyos. But in the days of Amos, they were surrounded with so many goods, they could not appreciate God's word. And so it may befall us, brethren. You may be enjoying certain things in your life that you are willing to acknowledge is God's blessing. Health, advancement in your career, financial security, good vocation, and you're willing to acknowledge all of this as blessings from God, but probably we may forget, in the midst of such blessings, we forget the Word of God. And the fact is, even if you may have little of the blessings upon your career, or even if your health is failing, if you have God's Word, you can count yourself blessed. Maaari mo ituring ang sarili mong pinagpala. Kahit pa hindi ganun kabuti ang iyong kalusugan o hindi ka ganun siguro sa iyong career, kung nasa iyong salita ng Diyos, maaari mong ituring ang sarili mong pinagpala. At yan ang maaari nating mapagbaligtad, mga kapatid. We forget the most precious blessing is having the Word of God. So when we think of a church, we may have none of the pomp and powers of the world's organization, but if the church has the word, it is blessed. This is our blessing. This is grace from God, more tremendous than if we were made rich with money. Do you believe that? Naniniwala ka ba rin? At kung naniniwala ka riyan, ang ibig sabihin, while the word is present, use it, respond to it. Habang nariyan ang salita ng Diyos, ang hamon sa atin ay gamitin mo, tumugon ka sa salita ng Diyos. What does the presence of the word mean to us? Well, to all of us, the presence of the word means we have it and we are free to use it in our Bibles. Lahat tayo ay may Biblia, lahat tayo may kalayaan na gamitin ang Biblia. Imagine those periods, and until now in some places, when reading the Bible can cost you your well-being. Getting caught with a Bible in hand can land you in prison in some of the Islamic states. There's danger. But Christians, both in the past and Christians now in restricted places, are using every resourceful method imaginable just to be able to read the Bible. They treasure it. May alam ako na ang ginawa nila sa Biblia sapagkat iisa lang, pinunit-punit nila yung mga pahina, niro-rotate nila sa kanilang mga sarili para bawat isa ay may pahinang babasahin sa Biblia. Ganun nila minahal, ganun nila pinapahalagahan ang salita ng Diyos sa Biblia. At usisain mo ang iyong sarili. What do we do with our Bible at a time and in a place when we are so free? Not only free, we have a lot of helps to read it and understand it. I think the martyrs of old will turn in their graves if they know what some free Christians are doing or not doing with their Bibles. Those martyrs died for the freedom that you and I enjoy. And what are we doing with our Bibles? Also, the presence of the Word means that we may be blessed with faithful preaching in the church. And believe me, I say that not to lift up the preacher, but it comes from a heart that bleeds over the situation I know in many churches, where there are pulpits that produce spiritual toxic waste. And the hearers don't know it, that they are being poisoned from the pulpit. But when blessed with faithful preaching, that's the presence of the Word. And when you are blessed with faithful preaching, do not slip under it. Do not be absent from it if you can help it. You may have no idea what blessing the Lord is pouring on you that others can only dream of. Malaking pagpapala ito kung alam mo ang kasaysayan, ang kadilimang bumalot sa maraming panahon at ikaw ay pinagpapala ng pangangaral na mula sa salita ng Diyos. It's a blessing from the Lord. Listen to it well. Listen to do. Listen to respond to the Word of God as you are made to hear it. Let me make a special appeal to those of you who have listened to the gospel and yet you still have to respond. Oh, do not fall into the folly of Amos' generation. And doubtless, when they heard Amos, there were times that they felt convicted. There must have been times when they felt the power of the Word and they were moved in the heart. But what happened? They probably just brushed the conviction aside until it is gone. And there is something sobering in the description, a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. It is not simply a famine of the Word of the Lord. It means not only that there was no Word, it means that even if the Word was there, they were beyond hearing it. They have come to a point in their condition that they cannot be convicted anymore. They have hardened so much. And even if the Word could still be heard, they're no longer responsive. I know how it happens. There may be times that the power of the Word could be felt, the hearer may be moved, but only to brush it aside, and the next time they attend the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, it becomes easier to brush aside the conviction. There may have been times you came from church and you are moved to the quick from head to foot and in your heart, and your conscience is shouting at you, do something now, respond to the Word. And as you felt the conviction, by the time you get home and turn on the TV, in an instant, the conviction is gone. And make that a cycle of Sunday after Sunday and month after month, and the months move into years. And this man who has listened to the Word of God preached sometimes moved to the quick, and yet he has come to a point that he's hardened so much. He has a famine of hearing the words of the Lord. The time comes, no matter how convicting the Word, the heart has petrified altogether. So I'm asking you, while you are yet moved, do not brush aside the conviction. Do not promise yourself some better time. The better time rarely comes. The longer you defer, the harder you become of hearing the Word. So I'm asking you, those who have listened to the gospel, young man, young woman, how will you face your judge without faith when you have grown up in a church and under a pulpit that has begged of you and pleaded with you many times to come to Christ, embrace the gospel? And yet once more, I beg of you, I plead with you, come to Christ, cast yourself upon the gospel. And even if I can weep for your soul, that will do you no good unless you yourself respond to the word of God. So come now, defer no longer. Many of your fellow youths are out there occupied with their gimmicks, and you're blessed with the word. And perhaps you don't know how blessed. And so while the word is present, come to Christ. Embrace the word, because it may not always be present. And so we come to the second time frame, when God's word is absent. Kapag wala na ang salita ng Diyos. Clearly, the famine of hearing the words, according to Amos, was going to be sent by the Lord. Isusugo ng Panginoon. Gawa ito ng Panginoon. Which reminds us of something very important, that the blessing of the word or its withdrawal is God's sovereign disposition. Ang pagpapala ng salita o ang pagkakait nito ay soberanong pasya ng Diyos. Hindi ito isang bagay na automatic. Hindi ito isang bagay na mamanahin mo sa pamilya. This is not an automatic thing. This is not inherited like a family title. This is not by resolve of will. It is God who sends the word. It is God who sends famine of the word. We see this in history. There have been institutions that once gloried in learning God's word and yet are now among the chief opponents of the Bible. I'm talking of Harvard, Yale, Princeton in the United States, Cambridge and Oxford in the UK. In their foundation, they were built upon the learning of the Word of God, now committed to oppose the Scriptures. And if it happened on institutions, history shows it happens on churches, it has happened on individuals. I was just reading of a former colleague of Billy Graham in his evangelistic crusades, who made a complete turnaround of his belief, from belief to unbelief. Total, complete turnaround. How could it happen? Well, it happens to individuals. From the Word of God that was abundantly present, suddenly abandoned. And knowing that this is by the sovereign disposition of God, it should stir us up in our gratitude and appreciation when the word is present. And beware, God has the right, God has the sovereign disposition when He wills to withdraw it. And when the word is withdrawn, as Amos describes it here, the absence of the word darkens any other favor on a community or an individual. Kapag wala ang salita ng Diyos, padidilimin ito ang anumang mga pabor sa isang komunidad o sa isang individual. The absence of the word darkens any other favor. Amos here uses the figure of cosmic darkness to describe the misfortune of losing the word of God. Listen to him. I will turn your fists into mourning and all your songs into lamentation. I will bring sackcloth on every waist. I will make it like mourning for an only son. In other words, it's going to be bitter. Even in the midst of their singing, even in the midst of their feasting, because the word is absent, it's like darkness. And no matter how hard you try, nothing will compensate for the absence of the Word of God. And that's what people do today. They fill their lives with amusement. And we are pretty sophisticated when it comes to amusement in this internet age. And yet at a time when we have more amusements than we could count, people are lonely. Every poll suggests that people are alienated. And the explanation is put best by Augustine, who said, "We are made for thee, and we find ourselves restless until we find rest in thee." Nilikha tayo para sa Diyos, at lahat tayo'y walang kapahingahan hanggang matagpuan natin ang kapahingahan na yun sa Diyos. And so what do people do? They try to fill their lives with amusements and entertainment just to make them happy, just to drive away the loneliness, just to drive away the sense of estrangement, which only the Word of God can fill. So when the Word of God is absent, no matter what you fill your life with in terms of amusement and entertainment, it will not make you truly and genuinely joyful. Walang tunay na kagalakan, sapagkat ang salita ng Diyos ang tunay nating pagpapala mula sa Diyos. Kahit gamitin natin ito na babala, I was talking about martyrs. In the past, one of those martyrs was William Tyndale. At a time that most of the masses were ignorant of the scriptures, William Tyndale did what was forbidden then and therefore unthinkable. He translated the scriptures from the original languages, first the New Testament from Greek into English, and when it was circulated, the masses turned in droves to read the scriptures for the first time in their own language, and the church authorities did not like it. They thought that only priests should read the Bible, and William Tyndale did not believe that. But for that effort, he was haunted. He became an outlaw. But he continued on translating anyway. Until 1535, he was caught and arrested. But even in prison, he would go translate the Bible. But such was the hatred of the church authorities against him. At the time, you were either strangled or burned as a form of execution. They did both to William Tyndale. He was both strangled and burned for all his efforts. But you see, because he believed that the scriptures are God's precious blessing upon his people. And as he was burning, his last words were, "Lord, open England's eyes." Now that's our inheritance today. We will not be burned or be strangled for using and reading the Word of God. In fact, you and I are so much blessed. What a tragedy if we die of hunger amidst an abundance of the Word. What did you do with your Bible this week? We were singing, "Oh, may these hallowed pages be our joy by day and night, and still new beauties may we see, and still increasing light." Was your Bible a real joy to you this week? Talaga bang kagalakan mo, naging kabusugan mo, ang Biblia sa linggong ito? Ito ba'y talagang bahagi ng iyong buhay? Well, here is the message that I trust will be a sobering warning. What if one day, because of neglect, you open your Bible and it no longer speaks to you? What if because of neglect, you sit under preaching and no matter how God uses it for the benefit of others, you sit unbenefited? That would be a painful irony of a famine in the midst of abundance. Instead, we need to constantly pray that as we use the scriptures, as we sit under preaching, we would truly be fed by the word of God. And that is our last hymn, a prayer that the Lord will break the bread of life, and that through this, we would truly be filled. May we sing this as a true prayer and a true commitment to be using and responding to the word of God while it is present. Let's close in prayer. Tulungan mo kami, Panginoon, na tunay ngang palagahan ang iyong salita sapagkat ito ang pinakamahalaga mong pagpapala sa amin. Higit sa physical naming pagtutustos, higit sa aming kabusugan at kalusugan o sa aming mga panawagan, ibinigay mo sa amin ang iyong salita at walang kasing halaga ito. Ngunit maaring dumarating ang pagkakataon kagaya ng panahon ni Amos, na bagamat naroon ang propeta, narinig ang kanyang tinig, subalit okupado ang mga tao sa kanilang sariling mga inaakalang tinatamasang kayamanan. And they failed to realize what blessing it was that Amos was in their midst. And so it can befall us that in the midst of our occupations, in the midst of blessings that we are ready to acknowledge are your blessings, yet we may fail to acknowledge the greatest blessing of all is that we have your word. And while we have your word, we are duty bound to give it the commensurate commitment, the duty of using it, and the commitment to respond to it. And Father, help us to do so with our Bibles. When we realize how much in the past Christians have suffered, and how much still in the present in some places Christians are suffering, and yet they gave themselves to the reading of the word. And what do? We who are free, we who are in societies where we even have the privilege of references for us to understand the word better. And we may have the blessing of faithful preaching of the word. Forgive us if we fail to appreciate it. Forgive us when we take it so for granted that sometimes we even slip under it. Grant, Lord, that we would realize what a tremendous blessing it is that while others may be sitting under an outpouring of poison, you in your providence and distinct grace has made us to sit under the preaching of the word. May we treasure it. We pray especially for those who have listened to the gospel preached from this pulpit for days, months, and years, that they would not defer, but that they would respond now to the gospel of salvation in Jesus Christ. For when your word becomes absent, no amount of entertainment, amusement can ever compensate for the absence of your word. Indeed, the absence of the word will darken any other favor that we may have. And so we live in such a world where institutions, even churches, and individuals who once enjoyed and relished the word are abandoning it in droves. And here we are, still blessed with your word. May we not take it for granted. May we not imagine that it is our right. You are sovereign in your disposition in blessing us with the word or in withdrawing it. And we plead that you would not withdraw your word from us. And help us, Lord, to relish it, to enjoy it, to grow from it, and to always use it as your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.